Imagine a world without airplanes, or computers, or cooked food, or metal tools, or cars, or modern medicines, or electric lights, or cell phones, or any phones. Imagine a world without fire and the human capacity to harness it.
This is Robert Crowther. Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. You've just listened to the opening of a brand new DVD we are releasing this week titled Firemaker: How Humans Were Designed to Harness Fire and Transform Our Planet. The DVD features Discovery Institute senior fellow Michael Denton. If you don't know about Mike Denton, you should. His classic book, Evolution: A Theory in Crisis, helped inspire many in the intelligent design movement worldwide. Dr. Denton holds an MD from Bristol University, as well as a PhD in biochemistry from King's College in London. From 1990 to 2005, he was a senior research fellow in the biochemistry department at the University of Otago in New Zealand. Denton's articles have been published in many top science journals like Nature, and his books include not only Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, but also Nature's Destiny: How the Laws of Biology Reveal Purpose in the Universe, and just this year, Evolution, Still a Theory in Crisis. Dr. Denton's research involving the retina of the human eye led to the identification of several new retinal disease genes, including the gene used in the first successful gene therapy trial at Moorfields Eye Hospital in London in 2009. Dr. Denton spends much of his time in Australia and New Zealand, but today we are fortunate to have him with us here in Seattle to talk about this new documentary, Firemaker. Mike, welcome to ID the Future.
It's a pleasure to be here, Rob.
It's a pleasure to have you. A few years ago, when you were visiting in America, I heard you talk about the amazing story of how nature was fit for creatures like us to make fire. It was an amazing story, one that I hadn't really thought of before and I hadn't really heard of before. I wonder how you came on to this story about man's fire-making ability and if you can tell us how nature facilitated it.
Basically, I suppose, because in fact, I've had a long-term interest in fitness. And my interest in fitness sort of provoked me to look at all sorts of different areas in nature where there might be evidence for some unique fitness for beings like ourselves. And then that's really what led me into it. And then I looked at the phenomenon of fire and the progression from fire through ceramics, making of charcoal, to smelting metals, right, you know, to our modern civilization, this vast saga in human history. And it occurred to me as I thought about it that there really is only one route in this universe to go from a sort of Stone Age culture to modern technology. And it's basically through the use of metallurgy, really. That's the key. And then I looked at the conditions that are necessary in nature to follow this great route, this path from primitive Stone Age technology right away through to modern civilization. And you find that a lot of conditions have to be satisfied. You need wood, for instance, to make a fire, and you then therefore you need the conditions to make wood, which is photosynthesis. And when you look at the conditions for photosynthesis, you find that in fact, you know, you have to have a sun giving out the right light. The right light has to get through the atmosphere and so forth. And then you look at the atmosphere itself and you find that it has to be fit for our breathing, for human respiration, as well as making a fire. And there's lots of atmospheres that could be fit for respiration but not for making a fire and so forth. So when I assessed the conditions that are necessary to make a fire by beings like ourselves, I was struck by the fact that they give the impression of an extraordinary fine-tuning in nature for that particular phenomena to occur. In other words, for in fact there to be fire, there to be a route to technology, and for beings like ourselves to utilize that route and follow it through in the historical development of technology. Yeah, so for having a general interest in fitness, I'm looking into detailed aspects of nature herself, and that's continuing in my research. I mean, I'm continually looking for more and more evidence of a unique fitness in nature for beings like ourselves.
It is a fascinating story how we get from, like you said, the Stone Age to this entire civilization that we have. I don't want to give away that whole story here. We want people to watch the documentary. But I wanted to ask you to talk about one of the key points that you make. You say it's a close call that humans have the capacity to make and use fire. What do you mean by that, that it's a close call that we can do this thing?
What I mean by that is that if you look at the conditions necessary for making a fire for beings like ourselves, any departure from what we see around us in the world, any change in the atmosphere, any change in our basic biology, if we didn't have muscles as strong as they were, if nerves weren't as fast as they were, if the two atoms involved in a fire, carbon and oxygen, didn't have just about the properties they do have, we couldn't make a fire. In other words, basically, the fine tuning is such that, in fact, if it wasn't very fine tuned, we wouldn't make a fire. So in other words, basically, it's if you change any of the parameters in any way at all, we wouldn't be making fire. We might not even be here. So, you know, that's the fitness, of course, that the universe is uniquely fine-tuned for beings like ourselves, for carbon-based life forms based in a watery matrix and using oxygen to get our metabolic energy, oxidations to get metabolic energy. And once again, all that depends on the existence of photosynthesis, generating oxygen in the first place, giving you the reduced carbons in the wood to make a fire, and so forth. So in other words, the universe must be very finely tuned for us to be here making a fire.
That is quite an amazing thing when you think about how many things have to come together,
yeah,
and how perfectly proportioned they have to be and the ranges that they have to fall in so that you can do all these different things ourselves.
Yeah.
And then for us just to be able to make a fire is just that one thing.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Nature is fit for carbon-based life in water, for beings like ourselves on a planet like the Earth to make a fire. And I can say throughout the universe, wherever there is an advanced technology, it will have to be handled by carbon-based forms like ourselves. And this is consistent, of course, with the design hypothesis. It doesn't prove it, but it's certainly consistent with it. If there was all sorts of other routes to get from Stone Age to technology, if there were all sorts of other possible life forms based on phosphorus or whatever, then the universe wouldn't be uniquely fit for our sort of being. And then you wouldn't be able to argue, well, the universe was designed for us, right? Because there's lots of all sorts of other possibilities. But as far as I can see, the universe is uniquely fit for beings like ourselves and for fire and for beings like ourselves to utilize fire to develop a technology.
Mike, thank you for being here and taking the time to talk with us about FireMaker. I know that in the future, your research will delve into other things besides just fire. But right now, if people are interested in FireMaker today, if you're listening right now and you want to learn more, go to privilegedspecies.com. The DVD of FireMaker is now available. And at privilegedspecies.com, you can watch the trailer and purchase the DVD. That's privilegedspecies.com. For more information on this and other podcasts, be sure to go to idthefuture.com. And for ID to the Future, this is Robert Crowther. Thanks for joining us.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.